We've been talking about how do we think? Do we think properly? Do we think correctly? Do we think like God? And we realize we don't. Then we've been talking about truth, God's truth. And I want to talk about it a little bit more this morning. I want to enlighten you on some truth, hopefully. And then we're going to talk about issues in light of God, the way God thinks and the way the truth of the Scripture is. How do we address the issues of today, which are very, very complicated, which are very, very difficult, which is very, very dividing? But how do we talk through those things biblically and rightly, hopefully, in such a way that brings some answers and brings some clarity? So we've been talking about this aspect, a series here on truth. Pilate said, what is truth to Jesus? And we've been asking, what is truth for a long, long time? We said, if you want truth, you must listen to God's word, not just the chatter of society. We talked about how maybe we're not looking for truth as much as we are looking for happiness as a society. And therefore, we bail out on certain things because we want things that make us happy and tickle our ears rather than it's right and it changes us so that we can be good. We talked as we continued to go along, we talked about not allowing peer pressure to dictate our response to truth, and that truth is not relative, it's definite and it's absolute. Last week we talked about that Jesus has a plethora of grace and truth. We needed to mix grace and truth together. We talked about this mixing process that took place. We took J.B. Weld. I had some great assistants who came up here and helped me with the J.B. Weld. And we realized that when you take the things together and mix them together, grace and truth together, you create a very strong bond that will withstand a lot and we become a thing that will help us in an amazing way. We need grace and truth together, not grace or truth, but grace and truth. We found that truth reveals sin and grace removes it. And that we also realize that we need grace.
Yes.
We need truth. We have people who are really into the grace. We have people who are really into truth. And Jesus was all over the place and decided he wanted to mess everybody up by helping you realize that it's messy. Now, when I say it's messy, it's very messy to us, but it's very clear to God.
Right.
We're trying to evaluate everything. Okay, wait a second. No, truth, you can't. No, we should make this happen. No, it should happen like that. No, truth should. No, we shouldn't. No, you. And God does some things that are kind of, what? Why did you do that? It kind of messes us up a little bit. And I want to talk about this. When we talk about truth is enlightening this morning, I want to talk about an enlightening passage. We're gonna go through three passages this morning. And if you wouldn't mind standing with me, I'm going to take excerpts from these three passages that we're going to talk about this morning when we talk about truth. In John 3, 20 and 21, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. John, 1 John 1, 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Finally, John 8, 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. You be seated. Thank you. That scripture there, that last one, it talked about the light. I want to go right before it. I'm going to talk about the passage that's right before it, before he says this. And we're going to take a look at it a little bit because he messes with us a little bit. Jesus messed with the Pharisees. He loved messing with them. Pharisees had their hair nice and combed, and Jesus came up and he just messed it all up. They got all mad, and he goes, no, I like the new look. It's just Jesus trying to shed some light on this grace and truth thing. It's found in John, we start in verse 3. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they were dragging her, must be dragging her to this meeting out in the open here. And they set her right in the midst, and they say to him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. Say the next line with me. In the very act. Now, that makes me wonder. Are these Pharisees peeping Toms or what? I mean, it's like, woohoo, we caught you in the very act. We caught you right in the very act. They must have been trying to set this thing up. And my other question is this, where's the guy?
Right.
Where's the guy in this whole thing? We blame the woman. I'm going, what about the guy? Old Testament scripture says they were to be stoned. Both the woman and the man were to be judged, not just the woman, which makes me think again, were they setting this gal up? And he goes on to say this. Now, she's caught in the very act. We know what's supposed to happen to a person. We know the truth of this matter. And he says it right here. Now, Moses in the law, in the truth, our truth meter over here. Remember I talk about people who got the truth meter or the grace meter, and God's all over on the meter? We don't need more grace. We don't need more truth. We need more God. We need more of God because God adds the right components of both. Now, Moses in the law, remember the law is the truth. It's also showing God's heart. He doesn't like sin. He doesn't want us to walk there. It says, though, in the law, commanded us that such should be stoned. And we're not talking about the Washington or Colorado way of getting stoned. We're talking about the biblical way, and that's with rocks. That's with rocks. They're going to throw rocks at them and to kill them. But what do you say? I think they're just kind of licking their chops. They didn't realize that Pringles made it back then. You know, they're just licking their chips. Jesus is speaking, excuse me, like another Lay's potato chip. What do you say as they're licking their chops? This they said, testing him. See, they got a thing going on here. That they might have something of which to accuse him, which makes me think that they set this whole thing up. Therefore, they probably set the girl up, and I just think it's a horrible thing. I think it's horrible what they did. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger. Now, this is really important. I love the fact that he's down there and he's writing something, because they say he's writing on the ground. He's writing in the dust, and he's writing something. He's writing something. It's really important. I've always thought, what is he writing? As though he didn't hear them. I love that too. He's down here. They're bringing the lady, throwing her down there. They're saying, Jesus, what? And they're saying all this stuff. And they're standing there and they're looking at him. And he's not even looking at him. He's just writing in the dirt. It says here like he didn't hear him. Speak to the hand. He's just writing in the dirt. And they're just like, dude, they got the lady. They're talking to him. He's not looking at him. They're a little put off. What's going on here? Hey, hey, hey. And I wonder what he was writing in the ground. And you know, here's my thought. And there's all sorts of thoughts. He was writing something because it says it there. I wonder if while he was down there and they're talking about that, he's writing the Ten Commandments. I think he's writing the law of Moses. See, they just said, he just gave the law. Hey, Moses says, and he goes, yeah, I know. And he's starting to write them. One, two, three. And he starts to write down the Ten Commandments in the dirt. I wonder. It's conjecture. So when they continued asking him, he's not moving. He raised himself and he said to them, he who was without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. And now they're not licking their chops anymore. They're all excited about what he's going to say, trying to catch him, trying to see if he will err on one side or the other here. And he says a sentence to them that they were not expecting. They were not expecting this sentence. You, who's without sin, let him throw a stone at her first. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Now, here's what I think happened. They're over there going, he's without sin, cast the first stone. And I bet a bunch of people were going, you know what? I'm a Pharisee, I'm righteous, blah, blah, blah. And I think they were probably going to grab some stones, going to throw them at her. Okay, dude, we'll do it that way. But I think here's what he was doing. Again, conjecture. Something happened, though. He's got the Ten Commandments here. And here's Hiram up there, and he's the one yelling at them all like that. And so he's got the Ten Commandments written here nice and plain. And then he writes Hiram by 1, 3, and 4. And Hiram's going, oh, gee, I broke 1, 3, and 4. And then there's Bob. It's not a very good Jewish name, but Bob's over there, and we're wondering how you got into this, Bob. But and Bob's, you know, he's got 7 and 4, you know. His name's written by 7 and 4, and so he's sitting over there convicted. And then all of a sudden there's Tommy. He's over there. Tommy's over there, and there his name's by 2, 4, 6, 7, 9, 10, 12, and 13. He goes, what? 12 and 13? There's only 10. He goes, yeah, I know you broke things I never thought could be broken. Dude. And I think what was happening is they're all going, what did we do? What did we do? And they're all looking at what he's writing. And then going, you without the first, without sin, cast the first stone. I think they were. I think there was some going, hey, I'm righteous. I'm a Pharisee, dude. I look righteous in front of all the people. So they're getting ready to grab the rocks, but then they saw their name by those things. And then their own heart goes, and convicted them. I think then they drop the rocks and they walk out. And he stooped down and he wrote, and then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience. And I don't really think it was you without sin, because I don't think they even understood that concept, really. They understood sin, their sacrifice and fort and all that. But I think they, when they saw it there, they realized, I'm a sinner. They went out one by one, beginning with the oldest and even to the last, and Jesus was left alone. And the woman standing in the midst, when Jesus had raised himself up and saw that no one but the woman, he said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Where are those accusers of yours? Has no one, and look at the word he uses here, has no one condemned you? A very strong aspect between condemnation and conviction. Those other folks, they says they were convicted and they walked out. They didn't walk out with condemnation. They walked out with conviction. Uh-oh. And he says to this lady, has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. The Pharisees were condemning her. They were condemning her. They were condemning her. No one, Lord. Then he says this, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. My observation. Jesus doesn't condemn. He convicts and empowers. He doesn't condemn. He convicts and empowers. Even he did that to the Pharisees here as they were convicted. He didn't condemn them. He didn't go, you guys, and rub their nose in it. He simply pointed them to truth. And they realized they were guilty. He didn't make a show of it. He didn't drag them in front of everybody. He didn't tell them all of their sins. He didn't say, I caught Hiram with a lady yesterday. No, he didn't do that. He just privately wrote it and allowed the conviction of the Spirit of God to come. Now, remember this. There was a person there without sin. Jesus was the only one who could have thrown the rock at her because he was sinless. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. And Jesus chose, as the only one who could, to drop the rock, not condemn, but tell her, go and sin no more. Wow, do you understand that Jesus today is the only one? He could throw a rock at us, but he decided not to throw the rock. He decided to go to the cross and pay the penalty for our sins, that we might be free, that we might not be condemned. Although we might be convicted, we need conviction. Hey, I need to change. But here's the issue here. The lady caught in adultery. The people knew the truth, the law, they were to be stoned. Jesus did not contradict the truth. He agreed with it. He said, you're right. But he introduced another aspect of grace. You who are without sin, cast the first stone. He didn't undo the truth. He simply added grace to it. He didn't ever undo it. He didn't ever say, oh no, it's right now. It's okay. He didn't say, hey, neither do I condemn you. Go and do whatever you want. He didn't say that. I don't condemn you, but I came to change you. God didn't want to kill her. He didn't want to kill the woman. He wanted to change the woman. God doesn't want to kill you. He wants to change you. God doesn't want to condemn you. He wants to convict you, and hopefully that conviction will lead to facing truth. See, conviction is facing truth head on and then reaching out for grace because I need grace to change. He's not after to kill us and rid us of this evil. He wants to change us. I'm so thankful for the change that he wants to bring. The Pharisees used the truth to condemn, but Jesus used the truth and grace to convict and to change. I'm thankful for it. Grace doesn't lower the truth. It gives us a hand up to meet the truth. God is not lowering the bar. He's imparting the Spirit to help us jump over the bar, empowering grace. And here's the revelation and enlightenment. Grace is not an endless supply of free passes, but the catalyst to real and lasting change. It's not like, oh, here, you got a stack of 55. Do whatever you want, sirs. And you're going to use them however you want, sirs. Just, I want to do that, so I'm going to do that. I want to sin today and want to do that. I want to cheat off this guy's paper. I want to cheat over here. I'm going to lie over here. I'm going to steal that from the thing. I want to have sex with that lady. I want to smoke this. I want to drink all of that. No. He's not after behavioral modification. He's after life transformation. Truth and grace, it's messy. It's really messy. He messed up those Pharisees. We thought we had it down. If you do that, you get stoned. That's the truth. And God's over here on the grace, mixing it with truth to change a life. I wonder what happened to the lady. I wonder if she did go and sin no more. I pray she did. We don't hear anything. Hopefully we'll see her in heaven. We're going to go, hey, who are you? I'm the lady caught in adultery. That's my name. How are you? Oh, you're the lady that was caught in adultery. Hey, tell me, what did he write in the ground? No, just... The very next verse then, after all of this, says this. He's trying to talk to them about truth and grace. He's trying to talk to them also about, he wanted to enlighten them. He wanted to talk about the light that had come. The very next verse says this. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. But think about light. Have you ever been out in the woods and it's been really dark? You know, it's not a full moon out and you're camping out. You want to follow the guy with the flashlight or the guy without the flashlight? The guy that's going, ooh, ow, ooh. Gee, watch that branch! Watch that branch! Oh, ah. Or the guy going, hey, come this way. Here we go. You want to follow the guy who's got the light, right? Are we following the guy with the light? His name is Jesus Christ. He's got the light. There's another guy who doesn't have the light. Out there in the woods. They call him by all sorts of different names. But he hasn't got the light. He's got a corner on the darkness. And oh, there's some fun things in the darkness. There's a lot of pain, a lot of anguish, a lot of things that hit you and things you can fall into and get tripped into in the darkness. It's interesting that John chapter 8, this chapter here then, as we end the chapter, as we end the whole chapter, it says this, then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. It's interesting, we start with him wanting to stone the lady, they end up wanting to stone Jesus. We don't like what you're saying. We don't like you're messing with our truth. We don't like what you're doing because we have a box you're supposed to fit in. We have the way we want it to happen. But truth enlightened the sinner but kept the self-righteous in darkness. And it does it today. Truth enlightens sinners as they're looking. But it keeps self-righteous people in the dark. The Pharisees, man, they thought they had it. They were in the dark. This sinner, this woman, thought she didn't have it, but she had it. She had the light of the world shining on her. And he shone right through her, and it didn't repulse him. It injected his love, injected in, gendered, thank you, his love toward her. We keep thinking, oh, well, my sin, if God saw me, no. Bringing sin to light engenders God's love and grace to you.
Right.
Oh, no, you don't understand that, but I have so much love and so much grace. But truth has to bring you here. Hey, that's wrong. I'm going to convict you with this. Not condemn you, but then I got so much grace. I got so much love to pour out. Jesus doesn't let me start with John 3:16, our next scripture. It starts in one of the most famous passages around. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If that isn't cool, I don't know what is. I didn't come here to have you perish. I didn't come here because I hated you. I came here because I loved you, and I wanted you to live forever. Well, that's cool. That's a pretty cool deal. We get to live forever? For God did not send his Son into the world to, here's that word again, say it with me, condemn the world. But the world through him might be saved. Another observation, Jesus doesn't condemn, he saves. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't condemn. Jesus doesn't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. He doesn't condemn you. He convicts you. He doesn't condemn you. Truth is brought to bring conviction, not condemnation. And I look at this and I go, man, the world's drowning. Do you understand that? Our world is drowning. It's drowning. And Jesus, he says here, didn't come to condemn them. But he came, if you will, to throw them a life preserver. He came to throw out a life preserver. He's hey, you're drowning! Hey, grab on! Grab on, I'll help you! No, grab on! I know you're drowning. I know it's hard. I know life is tough. Hey, let me turn the light on. I'll shine a little light on that for you. Hey, grab onto the life preserver. I didn't come to condemn you. I didn't come to, you know, Jesus walked on the water. He didn't come to walk on your head and put you under further. He could have done it to Peter. Hey, Peter's drowning. I'm not going. And Jesus would have gone, watch this. Watch this, disciples. All right, come on up. He didn't do that. He didn't hold him under for a little bit. Oh, okay, I'm going to count to 5. Or 50. Or 55. No, he said he throws us a life preserver. He's thrown us a life preserver because we're all drowning out here. He's thrown us a life preserver. He's thrown us a line because he loves us. He goes on to say in verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. Not condemned because you're saved. But he who does not believe in him is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, wait. I thought Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. Now he says he's condemned. I don't get it. You said you didn't come to condemn the world, and now you're saying they're condemned. What gives here? Why? You're double talking here. Here's my thought. Jesus doesn't condemn you. You condemn yourself by not accepting him. I'm going to throw you the lifeline. Hey, I don't want to drown. Great, grab on. I don't want to grab on. Then drown. I don't want to drown. Then grab on. I don't want to grab on. Then drown. We could do this all day long. But when you go under, yeah, when you go under, it'll be your own fault. Why? Because you didn't grab on. Oh. Maybe I should grab on. Yeah, it's a good idea. Grab on. I'll pull you in. There's a lot of people who don't want to grab on. And you got to realize that we condemn ourselves for not grabbing on. We condemn ourselves. God's not going, I condemn you. He's throwing you your lifeline. And it's our responsibility to grab on. He doesn't condemn you. We condemn ourselves. He came to save the world, not drown it. Drown it. It's our own choice if we do. But it's not fair. Well, what's not fair is that he even throws you a life preserver in the first place. No, I want you to do something else. Hey, that's what I got for you. I want to do something else. Hey, I got my idea. Hey, I think all things lead to whatever. Okay, well, that's not true. That doesn't get you anywhere. That just caused you to drown. Oh, but I want it to be so. Okay, but it's not so. Why can't it be so? Because it's not. Well, I want it to be. Okay, fine. But I'm still drowning. I know, because it's not so. But I thought I want it to be. It doesn't matter what you want it to be. It matters what it is. Here's the life preserver. Do you want to grab on or not? It's always our choice. It's always our choice. And this is the condemnation. He's telling us what the condemnation is. That the light, Jesus, the truth, has come into the world, and men loved, it's a powerful word here, love, too, darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I don't want to grab onto that. It's got too much light. I want somewhere here that's a little darker, a little shadier. I want to grab onto that. I kind of want what I want. I want a preserver that allows me to do what I want. That preserver, I grab onto that, you're going to pull me a certain direction. I want one that allows me to, hey, do this or do that or cheat here, do that there, drink. I want a different one. Oh, there's not anymore. They loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Men love to swim around in the yuck instead of taking hold of the life preserver. It's their choice, and God gives you a free will, but we sometimes swim around in yuck as we're drowning here. Look at this clip.
Looks like we found our own private hot spring. I say we call it Griswold Springs.
Oh, water's perfect.
So nice. So why does it smell like not right?
Oh, that's the sulfur, buddy.
Yeah. It's natural.
Yeah, and it's really good for you, too. Actually, the minerals that are in this mud here, they draw toxins out of your body.
Oh.
Can you believe that? Cool, right?
Oh, wow. That's exactly what we needed.
Oh, yeah. Good call, Griswold.
Funny but true. We swim around in raw sewage because we don't want to grab on the life jacket, life preserver. There's a world out there that's dying. There's a world out there that thinks all of this is good, but it's not. And our job as Christians is to love them through, to help them think through this. And that's why I want to do some of the processes that we're doing here. Is how do we help a world think through where they're at, think through the whole concept without condemning them, but let them know and understand that what you're swimming in is raw sewage. The devil tries to make it look good. Men, it says, love darkness. Men love darkness. And here's my observation. We choose. I've got to get my thing. We choose to turn the light, which is Jesus Christ, on or off. On or off. Sometimes a delay in our obedience to the Lord, it seems like. On, off. There's also the clap off, clap on, clap off, clap on, a clapper. This seemed like it was a fun thing to do. I want to make this really clear. Because when we talk about this truth of the matter here, and God wanting to enlighten us with His truth, that we can either turn truth on in our life or off. You control it. Truth is what it is, but you either make your world and your environment and what you do, you either make it on with light or off with darkness, and it's your choice. He wants to give you light. You got to realize it's your choice to either flip it on or flip it off. And there are a lot of people who have flipped off the light. We control it. He says it to this, "For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed." Lest his deeds be exposed. There's an interesting thing about darkness. You can't go, "Hey, can you shine some darkness over here for me?" You can't shine darkness. You can't go, "Hey, I need a little darkness here. Can you guys put a little darkness in here?" You can't do that. All you can do is take light away. If you take light away, the response and the result is darkness. If you're the further you get away, "Hey, I got the light on in my life, and I'm turning it on. Oh, I'm enjoying the light. I'm enjoying the light. I'm walking in the light as he's in the light. Oh, this is great. I'm walking around." If I leave the light there, "Oh, I got it on!" And I start walking away from the light, it starts to get darker and darker and darker and darker and darker the further we get away from the light. "I never turned it off." I know, but you walked away from it. The further you're away, I think between Christians and non-Christians, there's this on and off. Christians feel like, "I got the light on." Non-Christians, the world, they're in darkness. But since we're Christians, "I got the light." But the problem with Christians is we walk a far way away from the light. And therefore, tell me, is this any darker over here than it is for the world? "Oh no, I got the light on!" But you're walking in darkness because you're far from the light. Interesting thing about light. Light does great stuff. Light travels fast. 186,000 miles per second, I believe. God moves fast. And when he convicts you, he can convict you fast, man. Turn light on, all of a sudden you got light off, and light off, and all of a sudden you come to the light, turn it on. Whoa, baby, whoa, that, whoa, he's moving. There's a lot of stuff happens as you get exposed. And being exposed is a good thing, not a bad thing. It's good. It's good. Most people are afraid of the dark. That's good. We should be afraid of the dark and want the light. The problem is there's a lot of people that are afraid of the light, and so they want darkness. The light. The light. The light. A great thing about the light is this. He says they're afraid because their deeds might be exposed. They might be exposed. He says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light," next verse, "comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen," exposed, "that they have been done in God." Now, for some of you have no idea what this is here. This is called film. Okay? Film. Tommy, do you have your phone? Run it up here. This is film. Back in the olden days, they used to take pictures and put them on this. And then they had to go to a dark room and develop this. And then they came out with this. Now it's hard to get this and this, so they went digital. They can't get it in your phone, but it went to digital. But before that time, there was this. Who's never seen film before? We have a few folks?
The guy running the camera.
You've never seen film. You've never seen film before? Seriously? You've never seen film before? This is film. It used to go in a little thing called a camera. Big old thing like this, and you look at people and you go, "Gee," and then light would come off, and then you'd take a picture. And then you keep it there, you keep it in the dark, and then you go over there into a dark room, open it up, take it out in the dark, and then you would develop what's on the film. Now, here's what Jesus wants us to do. The beautiful thing about Jesus Christ is he wants to take the record of our sin, the record of our sin that's all in here. And he wants us to come to the light and Oh, my. Okay. And he wants to... Oh, there was more. I see. Oh, there was some more things you did. Okay. And there was some... Are you? Is that it? No. There's a few more. Up. Okay, that's it. All right. When we take this to the light and expose this out of the darkness, everything that's on here is ruined and now cannot develop. Those sins, those issues, that junk from the past, when we bring it to the light, God wants to deal with it, expose it to the light, and then by His truth, deal and take away what could have developed. No longer can it develop in your life. What left undone, this can develop some very atrocious, horrific, and embarrassing things in my life, if left undone. Now, here's the problem. We have a world that doesn't want them exposed. They got it all hidden in there. And some of us at times don't want to expose, right? The problem is, what's going to develop? It's not going to go away. It will develop. And what it develops into may not be very nice. My encouragement, come to the light. Bring your past, your record of sin, the junk of your life, and expose it to the light, and He'll take it away. Amen. That's a powerful thing. Truth draws people to the light. What's the light? It's what's right. What's the light? It's what's right. Should I do that or not? What's right? Oh, that's the light. He's not a Bud Light. He's the light. Last scripture. Just give me a few minutes to bring this one home, okay? It's found in 1 John 1, 5 through 10. It says this. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you that God is... Stay with me. And in Him there is... How much darkness? Is there any?
No.
A little bit?
No.
A smidgen?
No.
An ounce?
No.
None. There's also a devil. And in him, there's really no true light. He's full of darkness. Now, here's the problem. He's absolutely full of darkness. But there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians 11, 14 that says this. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of, say with me, why would he do that? Because he understands how God works. But here's the thing. The word transforms, we think, oh, he's becoming light now? No. The word transforms means to transfigure. It means this other word too, or disguise. To disguise. And what it's saying here is he disguises himself.
Hey, I'm your mother. Get in the car with me. I want to take you home.
No, I'm not supposed to. Are you really my mother?
Yes, I am. Hey, honey.
He's not your mom. He's not your friend.
Here, I have some candy. Want some candy? Here, smoke this. Drink this. Have this. Cheat this.
You gotta understand, he's not our friend. In him is darkness. He tries to make it look like light, but it's not. It is dark. It's a disguise. These three, I want to end with these three if you say statements in this passage. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. By the way, some people get it backwards, and instead of saying on, it says no. Sometimes we don't flick the switch to on. We got it backwards and we say no. If we say we have fellowship with Him, I have fellowship with Him, but walk in darkness, we lie and we don't practice the truth. Saying I'm close to God, saying He's my buddy, saying that, hey, I have a great relationship with Him, but we do dark things, we lie to others. Trying to make ourselves look like we're better than what we are. We lie to others. He's trying to get at Christians here now, okay? If we say we have the light but walk in darkness, we're lying to others. We're trying to tell them, I got this cool relationship with God. We're buds. It's awesome. It's amazing. But I'm walking in darkness. I'm lying to you if I do that. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from sin. Two, if we say, we have no sin, because you can't see nothing, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Christians, it's speaking to us. The truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, hey, I'm a good person. I'm wonderful. Everything's great. Oh man, I'm the top of the morning. Everything's good, 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 good. Saying I have no sin. I'm okay. I don't need to change. You don't need to work on me. I'm okay. We lie to ourselves. And the first one, we're lying to others trying to present something. The second one, if you really think you're okay, if you think everything's well within, there's no need for God to do any work on me at all. This body work is great. There are no dents, no dings. You're not looking very good. You're looking at things in the dark. And we lie to ourselves. First one, we lie to others. I'm not practicing truth. I don't have the light on. I have it off. Second one, in a practicing truth, you're lying to yourself. And he goes on to say this, though. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He gives us a thing and then tells us what we should do with it. Thirdly, he says, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him, God, a liar, and His word of truth is not in us. First one, hey, we're lying to others. Second one, I don't need to change. I'm lying to myself. Third one, not sinned. You're lying to God. We need the light. We need the light on. Where's that one hotel? And we'll leave the light on for you. I think that's Jesus' tagline. Forget, how does that go, Tommy? Motel 6. What does it say? We'll leave a light on for you. Motel God. We'll leave a light on for you. Will you come to the light? And will you leave the light on in your life? Light on. Light off. It's your choice. Don't lie to others. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to God. Turn it on and watch what God will do. I want to say this last little story because I thought it was funny. Tommy was talking to me about his daughter, my granddaughter, Chloe. Chloe's about this tall. She's in the 1/5 percentile, I think. That's a little high, 4 percentile. And he sees Chloe, and Chloe comes running up to him with her face covered in chocolate. And he comes up to Chloe and he says, Chloe, did you eat the chocolate chip cookies?
No. No.
Sometimes God's asking you, hey, did you do that? Oh, no, no, your friends are, hey, did you? No, no, no. It was again, Chloe, did you eat those chocolate chip cookies? No, no, no. Chloe, you're a truth teller. Who ate those chocolate chip cookies, Chloe? And she goes, I did. I think it's time for us to just go, I ate the cookies. Turn the light on. Clean up my face. Clean up my act. Clean up my life. Truth is light. God wants to deal with us. He doesn't want to kill you. He doesn't want to embarrass you. He wants to deal with the real of sin. He wants to give you a life that's full of truth, full of grace, because there is the key for happiness. Happiness is not what we're to seek. It's the byproduct of enjoying a relationship and walk with God. Let's pray. Father, help us all to just keep the light on. We know you keep it on for us, Lord, but sometimes we flick it off. Help us to have the courage not to look at the switch and say no, but to say on. I want you on, Lord. I want your light looking into my life. Because I know when it finds problems or issues, if I'll bring it to you, you'll expose them. You'll cause them not to develop. You'll take them away. So, Lord, help us. If we're going to help a generation out there, then we have to help the generation in here. Help us, Lord, to be a great example of those who live by the light of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And everybody said, amen. If you don't know Jesus, it's a great place to come right here. There'll be some people to pray for you, to ask Christ into your life. Grab on the life preserver. No, 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 I got my own way. It ain't going to work. This one does. Come. He'll save you. He's not going to condemn you. He's going to save you. Then he's going to empower you. Maybe you need prayer for something else. Come here. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. You're realizing, you know, I was on the life preserver. I let go. I turned the light off. And I've been wandering around in sewage. And I just want to come back. Come. He'll clean you up at the speed of light. He can clean you 186,000 miles per second. That's pretty fast cleaning. He loves you. And so do I. Thank you for the privilege of being able to address you every Sunday. God bless. Let's go out and live the light. Amen. You're dismissed.